Once again, this evening, back to the Bible, and we're going to do some study in the scriptures. We have been in Romans chapter 12, and continuing that study, having looked for some weeks now at the different gifts of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul mentions and urges the readers to be involved in. We're going to continue in that passage going forward from verse 9. So won't you bow your heads with me as we pray together and just commit our time and ourselves to the Lord. Father, thank you for your kindness, your goodness to us in many, many ways. And Lord, at the same time, recognizing that we don't deserve anything from your hand, but looking to you as God, the all-glorious and majestic and holy God, coming together to study, but doing so, Lord, because we understand that we need to be taught. We need to be led in ways of revelation, Lord, that you have revealed, the things that you have made known, the paths that you want us to walk in, and Lord, what you want us to be and how you want us to live. And so praying that your Spirit would open our hearts, our ears, our eyes to that which is important to you. Bless our time together as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read the passage. Remember, we did begin with Romans chapter 12, looking at that turning point in the book where there is the appeal. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. From there, we moved on and looked at some aspects of being transformed by the renewing of our minds, going on to look at the gifts of the Spirit and Paul's urging that we use these gifts, that they don't lie dormant or unused. And so tonight, moving on to verse 9, and just that section from verse 9 through to 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer and contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I'm going to take it that far this evening, trusting that God's word would be beneficial to us, but also leading us in ways that will honor him. I want to begin by asking a very important question, a question relating to ministry and life. And I have an unidentified it to begin with. And I want to ask the question, what is it? And that's the unidentified at this point. What is it that moves you? What is it that moves me to do things, whether those things be at home or in the church or in the workplace? What is the underlying motivation? We can be more specific and look at some of the issues of daily life. What is it that makes you get to work on time at 8 o'clock? Why teach a Sunday school class and be regular and diligent in preparation? Why attend a prayer meeting or church business meeting? Why sacrifice time on a Saturday morning or early Sunday morning to prepare with a worship team to be ready for the service later on in the morning? And so we can go on asking questions as to why we do various things. Why do we contribute towards the needs of others? Why do we give money to the church? Perhaps even more specific to husbands. Why do you give your wife flowers? Or wife, why would you consider sending your husband off to watch a rugby match when that happens again when COVID is over? Now, one of our obvious responses would be that we men and women and young people all have a deep sense of responsibility and a deep sense of duty. We will do things in many instances because we believe these things are expected of us. And that occurs at different levels, some people more so than others. Well, I want to take that a little bit further this evening, because while it is important to be responsible and to do things out of duty, and it's wonderful when we have church members that are responsible and carry out their duties, there is something more superior. There is something that I want us to see from this passage tonight that is infinitely more valuable, that ought to motivate you and me in the doing of all that we are active and busy in doing. Looking at the passage and asking the question, why would anybody, remember we've been looking at gifts, why would anybody use their particular spiritual gift in the church? Why would you or me or anybody else give serious attention to this very long list of exhortations? Some of them I read at the beginning of this time today. Why would we do that? Is it just a sense of responsibility? Is it just because we feel dutiful or duty-bound to do these things? It may also be, if we consider things, that some people do things because they resolve to do so and they have strength of character. Some people do things because they like an ordered society or things to be successful. Other people have a particular felt need to do what is right. And in doing all of that, there is that temptation for any one of us to tick the boxes, to believe that simply because we are doing things, that we are responsible people, that all is well with God, that all is well in the ministry we do. And so getting back to this unspecified or unidentified it, what is it that God is saying to us through Paul that brings together God-glorifying, church-edifying use of gifts? And what is it that brings about God-glorifying or God-honoring living in the church and the workplace? Well, the it that I'm wanting to speak to at the beginning of this study tonight is our need, our desperate need for genuine love. And so my first point this evening is I want us to consider, before you tick the box, check your heart. So before we run to duty and responsibility and strength of character, it's important that from time to time we examine our hearts. What is it that is moving us from within? We can so easily be led to the wrong conclusion about our spiritual condition by ticking boxes. But is that really a true indication of the spiritual state and well-being of our hearts? And so it is easy to make a mistake. A quick, premature assessment can be misleading. It can be dangerous. Like the illustration of a blind man who wakes up in the morning concluding that it's a warm day, not aware that his house is on fire. We don't want to be misled. We want to know the truth of the matter. So in a similar deceptive way, it's possible to feel good about your spiritual condition because you tick the boxes. You may be a person who attends regular prayer meetings. You may be a person who never misses church. You may be a person who tithes very faithfully and loyally. You serve in a particular ministry. And so each week, each month, you're able to tick each of those boxes, and it can lead you to feel good spiritually, feeling that all is well. But in that process, it is possible to slide very slowly into a barren rut where spiritually you're doing things, but inside you're feeling very dry, you're feeling quite cold toward God, and there's been very little, going back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, of digging into the mercies of God. And so there's been little progress. There's in fact been a drifting. There's been a backsliding. There's been a slow hardening of heart. And so the danger for any one of us is the false prop of religious duty, added to that inaccurate and elevated views of ourselves, can lead us, and in fact can mislead us, into a false sense of security. And in all reality, sincere love is weak or perhaps even absent. So it's no accident in Paul's discussion on the gifts here in this particular context of Romans chapter 12. And also, you will remember, I trust, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul addresses spiritual gifts. He goes on to 1 Corinthians 13 and he speaks about the all-important subject of love, what I'm tonight wanting to call genuine love. In both of those contexts, love is identified as that crucial ingredient that we believers need in the lives that we live and also in the ministries that we serve in. So the absence of sincere love, and I thought of some things that are quite difficult to do just on a very mundane level. Nothing worse than eating popcorn without salt. It's nothing worse, in my opinion, than eating dry toast and having no butter. And so those essential ingredients are missing, and sincere love, coming back to the passage, is an essential ingredient for delighting in God-glorifying ministry. That's what we're wanting to do here this evening. Paul therefore says in chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be genuine. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that well-known passage, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All the gifts in the world can be in use or being demonstrated, but if they are exercised or practiced in the absence of love, it's nothing. He continues, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I want us therefore to consider the issue of genuine love. And just to take a few minutes and looking broader in the Bible, in the broader scope of the Bible, so that we, if at any point in time, find ourselves involved in just legalistic duty or burdensome bondage, and our hearts are hard and cold and even empty, what do we need to do? What is it that brings about, again, this genuine love that will unlock for us this door of delight in serving God? And I want us to go on to consider, which is a very difficult soul-searching, heart-searching exercise for any one of us to do, is to check your heart for hypocrisy. And for us to take the time, from time to time, to look deep inside. Hypocrisy is not hard to see. We are given examples of it in the Bible, and I'm going to give two different ways that hypocrisy shows itself, that any one of us can identify in our own lives if it's there. Hypocrisy shows itself when it tries to make good impressions. We find ourselves spending a lot of energy and effort, time, in making the outside look better than the inside. Outwardly, smiling when speaking to a certain person or saying nice things to a particular person, but inwardly not really liking that person, disliking that person, and really practicing double standards. In other instances, outwardly ticking the box of church attendance or participation in acts of mercy, but inside it's a grind. When it's done, so glad to be gone, so glad to have this behind you. The trouble is that hypocrisy, when we're in a state of hypocrisy, nothing is achieved. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. All that we do needs to be driven by genuine love. Jesus accused religious leaders very openly and bluntly of this kind of hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. He addresses them, "You hypocrites," verse 8. Commentating, he says, "These people honor me with their lips, external, but their heart is far from me." Jesus, in another place, also quite angry. The behavior of these folk stirring wrath from him. Matthew chapter 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," and again addressing them, "Hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and plate, and the outside may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanness." Now, we can at times be guilty of this kind of condition, this state of hypocrisy, where for various reasons, it could be just lack of spiritual devotion, it could be a drifting away, it could be disappointments that have come about in life. Many reasons can bring it about. The point tonight is we ought to be willing to look for it. Is it there? Because we need to address it. Here's another kind of way that hypocrisy shows itself, and I'm just briefly going to touch on it. When we are guilty of hypocrisy, we try to deflect attention, and we prefer to hide our own flaws and prefer to draw the attention and of the shortcomings of other people into the focus. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 42, the well-known passage, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." So it just means of examination. Lord, search my heart. Am I someone who's more concerned about the outside rather than the inside? Am I somebody who always tries to put the spotlight on somebody else so nothing can be seen or said about me? And the issue is, if you are guilty, and if I am guilty, and at times we are, what do? We get back to the mercies of God. That is the wonder of grace. Back to the mercies of God. Getting back to the gospel, once again appreciating the greatness of the love of God, the greatness of his mercy toward us, undeserving people, and yet he continues to lavish that love on us. Romans 5 verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the point is to be open to that. And as we recognize our need of grace, as we recognize that we do have failures and that we are sometimes hypocrites, that the love of God enter into our lives and spill over into other areas. And so really what I've been trying to say, looking at this passage and elsewhere in the Bible, I'm, I noticed that as we continue in Hebrews, I'm going to see something similar to this, is that genuine love is the foundation of Christian usefulness that will lead to a fruitfulness in ministry. We need more of it. We need more. I think we all need more and more in our experience of the love of God in Christ, that we in turn can express that love to others. As a quote that I found quite descriptive, it is only when you fill a balloon with air that it grows into its predetermined shape and fulfills its intended and useful purpose. Think of yourself as a balloon. We need to be filled with the love of God so that we can be what God wants us to be and to be used in the way that He wants us to be. When your heart is full of genuine love and you grow into your predetermined shape, enabling you to fulfill your intended purpose. And there is that great scripture verse that one of those verses worth memorizing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains me. Or as the ESV puts it, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded that one has died for all. Therefore all have died. Now having checked your heart, I want us to go one step further. When we have examined our hearts, and we've faced issues of sin or hypocrisy or anything that is detracting from a tender heart for God, fruitfulness follows. There's no need to just check the box. There's no need to just do things out of it. Of course, we need to be responsible. We need to be people who know that we are good stewards and to carry out our work in a responsible way. But in that context, to do so with genuine love flowing out of our hearts, demonstrating and showing that, we will begin to see fruitfulness in our own lives, touching the lives of others, and fruitfulness, therefore, in gospel ministry. All the exhortations that follow in this passage, and there's a great danger in this kind of passage where you just have one command after another. The temptation is to think, wow, this is legalism at its height or at its best. This is not legalism. This is the fruitfulness that flows from a tender heart, from a heart of genuine love. So I'm going to run through them. I've given them headings. Each one of them has a heading, and we'll look at them. So the fruitfulness that follows, the first one I've called love's standards. Verse 9, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Why would you be bothered, or why would I be bothered about that which is good or that which is evil, unless I'm actually in love with God and I'm concerned about what He thinks and what grieves Him? You see, so it's the love of God and it's the love for God that fills our hearts in such a way that you and I want to do what pleases Him and we don't want to do what grieves Him. Pure love is never soft on evil. If the love of God is present, our leaning and our tendency will be towards a standard that is pleasing to God. Pure love will not tolerate. We all fail, I understand that, but to live in a state of corruption or lawlessness or greed or injustice or slander or adultery, no, that's not where we live. Because our desire, the standard that we come to see in our love for God, is to be holy. The second expression, I've called it love's community. Verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now, in a community that has been touched by the love of God, indescribable love of God, and our hearts are also flowing out with some of that kind of love toward others, there will be a concern, there will be an interest, there will be an involvement in each other's lives. And so the local church becomes like a local family, where there's allegiance, where there's commitment, where there's caring. It's not just about each person in their small corner and unconcerned about anybody else. No, we are a community, and we're a community that has come about, a community that experiences, and a community that expresses love that we have received, that we share with each other. It is the third aspect of here. I've called it love's energy. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Basic principle of here. Once again, why would I not do something well if I know that this is going to be pleasing to God? The people of God who are filled with love for God and the love of God expend themselves. They do so willingly, tirelessly. It's not a difficult thing to prepare a Sunday school lesson during the week, knowing that this is going to be a ministry toward gospel work on Sunday for the cause of God, for the unfolding of his eternal redemptive purposes. Nothing is too much. It's okay to be stretched or overextended or hard pressed, or another word or phrase, being spent or going the extra mile. And that's what Paul describes in Colossians chapter 1 verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, he powerfully works within me. It's amazing what love leads us to do. Alexander McLaren is a preacher, bygone era. It is said that when he went into his study, he would take off his slippers and put on his working boots. And the reason he did that, he said, because he knew that a minister of God is to be a working man. And what is it he knew? He knew that true and genuine love labors. Next one, number four, love's outlook. When we experience the love of God, it changes our perspective of life and eternity. We get to see the bigger picture, and it helps us move forward with much hope. A glimpse into the life of a believer consumed with the love of God will reveal an extraordinary type of attitude and dependence, even in the midst of daily pressure, knowing there is a future, knowing that God cares, knowing that God invites us to come to him. And so verse 12, rejoice in hope. Well, we know that there's a future. Be patient in tribulation. This too will pass. Be constant in prayer. Our Father in heaven. Next one, number five, love's care. When the love of God and the love for God grips the heart, generosity follows. We spoke a bit about this under the section of gifts. People get involved in willing and wonderful gifts of kindness and mercy. They pop up all over the place. So when Paul writes in verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality, that's what we do, those who are believers and are filled with genuine love. I have been a recipient of that. Carol and I have been the recipient of that again and again. We've experienced, even in this season that we're currently going through, it's a dark season. But the love of God's people toward us, showing us kindness and love, has been amazing. An indication that people around us know something about the genuine love of God. I do think this kind of passage ought to challenge us in terms of why do we do what we do? What is it that drives us? Is it mere duty? Is it just the expectation of others? Is it the desire to impress others? Or is it this heart that is filled with sincere love? And so at Central Baptist Church, we don't want to simply have people tick boxes. We want to help each other to be in a spiritual state of well-being where we are moved and motivated and inspired by the love of God in Christ Jesus, and in so doing, being fruitful in the kingdom. The final word on this matter is your heart is important in your walk of faith. The state of your heart, the state of my heart, that it would be tender, that it wouldn't be as stone or it wouldn't be as ice, but that it would be on fire for God in response to his love and his kindness. Genuine love forgets itself and looks to Christ and overflows with joy in him with real spiritual growth and fruitfulness. Dear Father, pray for us in this matter. Any one of us needs to, and Lord, pray that you would help us to love more and more. In our experience of your love of us, as your Spirit works within us, may we see the width and the height and the depth and the length of that love, immeasurable. And may that so touch us so that we in turn also may be able to love and show that love more and more. And in doing so, Lord, to serve your purposes and that your name would be honored. And so we pray for us as a local church, for us as individuals in our differing circumstances. Continue, Lord, we pray to nurture us and guide us, direct us in your paths, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just one final comment. It's about the questions, and they are up on the screen. And once again, I do want to urge those who are using this study in groups, if you could just take a photo with your phone and use these questions. And I'm sure that there are other questions also that you can include in your discussions, and challenge one another, encourage one another, pray for one another as we go forward seeking to honor the Lord. So bless you and be with you as we continue to live out our lives for him. Amen and God bless.